thousands, and from there to many more. Before long, it had spread to all parts of the world. It caused confusion and concern, change and fear. Leaders of groups and nations did everything they could to stop it, or at least to slow it down. As much as they tried, they were unsuccessful. To some, it caused chaos, while others were simply apathetic, and to those directly affected, it took their life. It would be easy to assume that we're referencing this new virus, but actually what I was referring to occurred 2 millennia before. It was not a disease, though some considered it to be. It was not a virus, but it was vital. It was not influenza, but it was an influence. Its effects are still being felt today. You see, I'm referring to the church that Jesus started and died for. Jesus spread his teaching to the apostles, who in turn influenced others who shared it with the whole world. From 1 to 12, then 3,000, then many into multitudes. Until in Acts 17:6, some claimed, "These men who have upset the world have come here also." The world had, in a short time, heard the viral message of Jesus Christ. Satan had hoped that he could stop it before it even started. He tried to have Jesus killed shortly after Jesus' birth. Then he used temptations and trials and torture and eventually death by crucifixion. But nothing worked. The message of salvation through faith in Christ was made even more powerful when Jesus conquered death and the grave at his resurrection. Now Satan's only hope was to contain the church in whatever manner imaginable. He will use any means possible. We as obedient, baptized, repenting and confessing Christians must be vigilant to see the spread of the gospel continue. So today, as we gather at this table to remember the one who started the viral movement, to remember the sinless life that would be offered as a perfect sacrifice, to remember the price that was paid for our redemption. The one who started it all, died for all, that all may live. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Bow with me, please. Father, we come before you, amazed at your greatness, that you would love a world so much that you would send your only Son to die on its behalf. And so, Father, as we come today to remember that price, may we remember the supreme sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And, Father, though we as a church cannot gather together, we are scattered about, if you will, similar to that which was of the first century, may we continue to share and to spread the truth about the great and amazing price that Jesus paid to redeem us back to you. Father, as we come to remember him, we pray, Father, that as we partake of this bread, that we may remember the body of Jesus, which was so viciously abused. And Father, as we partake of the cup, may we be reminded of the blood of Jesus, which takes away the sins of the world. Father, we are so thankful for him and for your love, for we ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.